sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Live and local, it's time for Fan Sports Sunday. If the weekend is a big desert for sports talk, think of this show as an oasis.
Yes, yes, here we go.
Come drink from our pool of hot takes as you quench your thirst with.
I thought I was going somewhere, but I'm not.
So let's just start the show. Here's Elon Musk.
God, I wish Elon Musk was here.
I wish somebody was here. I beat the crap out of them.
Yeah.
That's just how I feel right now.
Yeah.
I go just throw things. Take a pillowcase, fill it up with bars of soap. Hit something with it.
I had no idea you did time.
I did.
I'm Tito.
On the steps. I was a stepchild.
That's the...
That was the timeout when I was growing up. I called myself a stepchild. We're sitting on the steps.
Ex-con Jen to my right. Caleb back there running things. And it was tough today.
It was.
All right. Look, Ohio State women looked great for about a quarter and a half. They were up 16, I think was their biggest lead at one point.
Yeah.
And then just...
9.1% three-point percentage.
Didn't make their first 3 points like the final minute when J.C. Shelton hit one.
Yep. At least, though, she finally made one in her last game.
Yes, and didn't they get...
Silver lining.
And the refs aren't the reason Ohio State lost, but the refs certainly played a role in it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say... Because there's a lot of other things that played into why Ohio State lost this game. Ohio State, there wasn't massive foul trouble. There were a lot of no calls. But the Ohio State, what it came down to, they couldn't make threes. They couldn't shoot free throws well, and they got out-rebounded.
Oh, the rebounds. 38 to Duke.
Yep.
20 for Ohio State.
Yep.
My Lord.
You had three players for Ohio State foul out. Celeste Taylor, you know, got called for a couple of ones that I thought weren't fouls.
They were sketchy.
Yeah.
And you know, she was out there playing her heart out because she was going up against her former team.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. McMahon had 27 points and five rebounds. Ohio State, though, they picked a bad time to play one of their worst games.
Yeah.
And, 18 and 27 on threes. Duke was 24 out of 29. And Ohio State, like I said, they had a 16-point lead at one point. And just it's heartbreaking to watch this team with how much talent they had, how well they played this year.
Yeah.
And look at all the highs of that this team had this year with the big win over Iowa early and had a 15-game winning streak. And just, you know, it's tough to see the season end this way. It's tough to see J.C. Shelton's career end this way. They're going to be great again next year. I think they'll still be a top 10 team next year. They've got a decent freshman class coming in. Plus, you've still got Cody McMahon coming back. McMahon was just a beast today.
Well, and I mean, that was the only thing that would work was get her down in the paint.
Right.
And they would beat up on her, but she was able to, you know, withstand the pressure, make the shot, and then, you know, the and one. And that was like the only thing that really worked
right. The
entire game.
Not that you care, but this busted my son's bracket and my bracket.
Oh, no.
We did the ESPN thing.
Yeah.
And we each did one. And going into today, he was in the top 0.5%.
Oh, my gosh.
He had missed one game. It was the one upset. He went chalk. So kind of a cop-out. But anyway, but he had Ohio State playing South Carolina, the final, South Carolina winning. But yeah, he was out of 3.25 million brackets. He was like tied for 1,200th.
Good for him.
Yeah. So, but now he's...
Did he have them winning at all?
Yeah, South Carolina winning at all.
Okay. So, well, I mean, he's still technically alive.
Yeah, still. He's not going to. No, he can't do it now. There's no way.
I'm not. I had the Buckeyes winning at all.
I forgot to fill my woman's bracket out.
Jen.
I know.
Come on.
I know. I suck at life.
It was a great atmosphere there today, though. It was. I mean, you were out there, Caleb. I was out there also. It was a great atmosphere.
It was amazing. I mean, other than the final 10 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, the shot was alive. It's been alive all weekend. Being there for the NIT last night,
the
main game was electric. And the crowd was, I really felt like they were getting into it in the fourth quarter. Thought the Buckeyes were going to be able to feed off of that energy. But yeah, just It's unfortunately a story we kind of had all season with the lack of rebounding. Yeah, I do agree. Refs, I literally have evidence of some of the no calls from the refs.
That one travel, when Duke took the lead on the kind of the fast break kind of steal. I mean, that young lady took 4.5 steps.
No, like legit though. Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. That I mean, I got plenty of pictures of Cody just getting smacked on the arm for no calls. Yeah. I mean, tough way to end the season.
Yes, difficult way to end the season. The Buckeyes, though, like I thought they'd be a Final Four team this year, and they get put out before they get even to the Sweet 16 out there in Portland. Duke had a great game play. Duke put some pressure on Ohio State in the second half, and the Buckeyes had a hard time with that. They seemed out of sync, which I haven't seen Ohio State look that way since maybe. They looked about sync in the UCLA game.
I was going to say it was that game where it was just kind of disjointed, and that reminded me of that game.
Tough game all around, though. Tough way to end the season for Ohio State. But Sheldon ends her career with 13 points. I love watching Ricky Harris play again. Mm-hmm. You know, she comes off the bench at the one point and draws a charge and then draws a foul on the other end of the court, too, and gets the free throw line. So, but we'll see how they come back next year, how they bounce back from this loss. You know, look, when you look at it, it's all said and done. The Buckeyes lost 3 of the last 4 games.
Yeah.
You know, Iowa in the regular season, Maryland in the Big Ten tournament, and then they get the big win over Maine, which looked great in that game, and then the loss today. So, tough. We'll get McGuff on sometime here soon and talk to him about the season, what's going on next. But the Buckeyes, though, fall short against Duke 75-63 after having a 16-point lead at one point. That's a big turnaround there. South Carolina's taking care of business today right now against North Carolina in the other women's games. And so let's look. I don't want to harp too much on the game. It sucks, right? We're mad about it, but there's so many other great things going on in sports today. Other big things, obviously, with the men's and women's tournaments. And as Caleb mentioned, the Ohio State women's hockey team is playing for a national championship at 4:00 today. They are playing Wisconsin, and the same matchup they had last year when Wisconsin won the title. Ohio State looking for their second title in 3 years, but they're in the championship game for the third year in a row. And they've played Wisconsin this year, I think 5 times.
Oh, wow.
They did a home and home, doubleheaded, 2 games home, 2 games there, and then 1 game in the conference tournament, I believe it was. And the Buckeyes are 3-2 against them in those games. But the Ohio State women's hockey team, though, they are no joke. I remember how great they were a couple years ago. They won the title, and they're second in the country in goals allowed.
Oh, wow.
And I think they're first in the country in goals scored.
So. Whoa. And that'll be on today at 4.
4:00 is that championship game today.
Yep.
I was saying South Carolina, they are ahead of North Carolina right now, 76-34 the fourth quarter.
They're unstoppable. I know they got tripped up last year, but good Lord, that team is a freight train.
Now, is there someone you're rooting for now on the women's side?
I would, and I don't like saying I'm like a homer for the Big Ten.
Right.
But I love Caitlin Clark, except for when she plays Ohio State. So I would love to see Iowa win just because they didn't get that chance last year. I mean, it was that whole thing with LSU and Angel Reese, and now we got this whole thing with Kim Mulkey and the Washington Post and whatever the hell is coming out about her. That, and I can't wait to read that article. I will pay $1 to read said article because I can't stand her. So I can't wait to see this hit piece. But anyway, I want to see Iowa win. I want to see Caitlin Clark. You know, I mean, she had the great season that she had. I want to see her, you know, finish her career with a championship. I would love that. Also, South Carolina, though, too. I love Dawn Staley. And I mean, this team is really, I mean, they are just crazy good.
It's going to take some time before I can lock it on. I was so ready to see this team in Cleveland. Like,
I know.
But
I know.
Caitlin Clark, I mean, that'll be exciting. I mean, she's, you know, extremely fun to watch, obviously, when she's not playing Ohio State. Like you said, South Carolina's good. I wouldn't mind seeing USC make a run now. You
True.
Know? Juju Watkins, I mean, I'm always here for just, I feel like she's such a game
she's
changer.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she is. That would be fun. There are still some good teams left, but man.
I can no longer get behind Caitlin Clark. Did you see her antics in the last game?
She headbutts the ball. Herself? Yeah.
Yeah, she gets mad, headbutts the ball. She's yelling at her father at one point. Okay, yelling at her father.
I laugh because that's how I played basketball.
I want to make sure I'm hearing this. Wait,
you are
comparing yourself to Caitlin.
Okay, I sucked.
Okay. So the antics you made.
But I was very, I was in it to win it at all points in time. And my father brought this up at the toast he gave at my wedding. And it's something I tried to like forget about as I was playing rec league basketball and I was in seventh grade and we were losing bad. And I run down the court and I say, well, if we can't win, we might as well just hurt somebody.
There we go. And rec basketball, right?
Rec basketball. Okay, just checking. Gen winners.
So that, and then she went after the refs, berating them about something during the game. And really, I haven't forgiven her since she flopped when Cody got called for the technical foul.
Yeah, I mean, that was.
I've seen too many of those things with her now. And she's like reached Christian Laettner status for me without the titles.
No, she has.
Laettner status.
She's reached that for me.
Don't compare her to him.
We'll see how she plays the rest of this tournament. She might go to Grayson Allen status.
Ew, that is so rude.
I'm telling you, no.
I would maybe say Grayson Allen. I would maybe go Grayson Allen.
They're both Laettner just nasty. Seems,
yeah.
I don't. So I'm all in on USC. And I'm not there for Iowa anymore. As much as I appreciate Caitlin Clark's game, I can't get past the way she.
Yeah, but okay. So here's my thing. Yeah. If this was a guy,
yeah,
would you still feel icky about it?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like Grayson Allen and Christian Laettner. Yes, okay. The same exact way.
Well, I mean,
yes.
Okay.
That's how I look at it. It's got a Draymond Green type feel to it. That's extreme. But I'm just saying,
he's on his own tier, Draymond Green.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, Draymond.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, that you have to do a lot to get to that level.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark does this. Draymond Green says, hold my beer.
Right.
Yes, you're right about that. But that's where I'm with Caitlin Clark. I appreciate the skill, appreciate the talent. It's been great for college basketball. Really great, obviously, for the women's game with what the traveling show with her when they sell out opposing arenas all the time. But just I'm done with her antics. Okay. That's what I'm done with. But we got a big show lined up for you today. You know, I didn't get any guests today.
I think that's for the best, actually.
I don't think I'd be fun to talk to.
No, we just got a lot to work through, and I think that's even better.
It does feel like a work through type
it
of
is.
Day.
It reminds me of, and it's not on the same level because we both know that there's a level difference between Ohio State football and other Ohio State sports, but it reminds me when Baker and I had to do a Sunday show after the Ohio State-Michigan game.
Oof.
And that was just a complete, I don't know if I can say the B word out here, fest.
Bitch.
Okay, that. Which,
fest.
What Jen said, fest,
yeah.
Is what it was.
Bitch fest.
Well, I just want to get fined or fired.
I'm a bitch, so I can say that.
Okay.
Fair enough on that wondering one. If I should have my hand on the dumb button right
you're
now.
Fine. Yeah,
just let it go.
You're fine.
But I'll tell you, we're going to talk a lot about. We got obviously a lot of NCAA tournament to talk about. The Ohio State men had a nice win, and they're still alive in the NIT. Who would have thought?
I was going to say, did we ever think that the men would go further in the NIT?
No shot.
Than the women in the NCAA?
No, nope, there was no way that was going to happen.
Ugh.
But we're going to talk about that next. The Ohio State men survived and advanced. And yes, I just compared their NIT two-game run to what NC State did back in 1983.
Hey.
We'll do that next. This is Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
We're known for three things. Games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio sports destiny. We firmly believe it's appropriate to tailgate before a youth soccer game. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, Jen, and Caleb with you. Thank you so much for commiserating with us. Let's get hyped. Let's get in a better mood now.
Okay.
Let's talk about Ohio State's men's basketball team.
Yeah.
They get a win.
Yeah.
Over Vatek. Advance now in the NIT. They're 8-2 under Jake Diebler. Jameson Battle made just 2 field goals in the game. No threes. But was 17 of 18 from the line, finished 21 points and 10 rebounds. Buckeyes 22-13 now play the winner of Georgia and Wake Forest today on Tuesday in the quarterfinals. If Wake Forest wins, the game is at. Are they in Charlottesville?
Yes. Okay. No.
Where's Wake Forest?
Virginia's Charlottesville.
Okay. Where's Wake? Roanoke? No.
Oh, I like that. I'm just pulling
Virginia names.
Winston-Salem.
Okay. So if Wake Forest wins, they'll be at Winston-Salem. And Paul Keels and Ronnie Stokes and Skip Mossick will be there.
Okay.
And if Georgia wins, the game is here.
Oh.
Which would be fun. There were all kinds of matchups I was looking forward to because There's a chance Ohio State could have played Princeton, who had Matt Alaka, who went to Hoosier Bradley.
Oh, yeah.
But Princeton got beat in the first round. On the other side of the bracket, they could have got to the finals and played either Loyola Chicago, who also has Norris, one of the Norris guys. I can't remember his first name, but who also played for Hoosier Bradley. Or they could have played Butler with Thad.
Oh, my God.
That would have been sick.
Wow.
Butler got beat in the first round, as did Loyola Chicago with Sister Jean.
Well,
she actually played in the game. They put her in late, her out there. She got
they never
ovation.
Know. You know, this might be her last season, so,
Wow, I was going to go that not? Dark. Ooh, I wasn't going to do that one. Jen, we were all thinking
she's
about
it. She's like 105 years old.
And she might be older than that. I know, but still.
You can't say anything until it happens.
No, like, no.
But I thought it was nice they put her in. You just never know.
Because she's going to die soon, is what Jen just said.
No, maybe she's just going to retire, and she doesn't want to spend, any more time watching the basketball team, because obviously they're not as good as they used to be. Okay, she was all for it when they were in the big dance. Now that they're in the NIT, she's like, do I really want to be here? That's what I'm talking about. How dare you think I'm talking about her passing away? That's so rude. Especially a week before Easter. I mean, I'm not even
Christian,
but come on, that's just terrible.
But no, Jen, it's weird you've got her in the death poll, though, with the fan here. That's part that, but we're not going to talk
about
that.
There's not a lot of points, though, with her, because she's
the favorite.
She's over 100 years old. So you don't really get a lot of points when you draft her in the pool. Someone who's actually been a part of a death pool and has won money from
her. Have you really? Who'd you win on? Do you remember who it was?
Yes, it was Funkhauser from...
Oh, yeah, it was Dave Osborne.
Dave, yeah,
that's
Super Dave.
That's Super Dave. That's his...
Super Dave.
Yeah, Funkhauser,
Super
yes.
Dave Dying got me...
You had him?
I did.
That's a ballsy pick.
That's
there.
Because there was a time where Levitard had a bunch of people on air.
Right, I remember that. Every time you had him on, they would
die. And, like, Adam West died. Mm-hmm. And
Alan Thicke
right. died, and Funkhauser, Bob Einstein, was like, no, I am never coming on your show again. Right. And then he died. So I won the death pool. We haven't had one since.
I thought we were getting hype. I thought we were getting hype.
We were. By the way, if they had one, I bet Jen would pick me. Phoenix got power, scored 13 points. The one had 6 rebounds. Bruce Thornton shot 5 of 12 on the floor, but he did score 12 points. And still no Scotty Middleton.
Where the hell
family,
is he?
All they are saying is that it's not like discipline related or like that. There's a personal family issue he's tending to. They have not said exactly what it is. They said they hope to have him back soon. And that's all they're really saying about it. But they could use him. The Buckeyes, though, it's amazing how much different. I know we said it last week, too. Amazing how much different they look compared to how they looked with Holtman in charge.
True. No, you're 100% correct with that. The whole thing is, the team has turned around, and I think they're very happy now.
Sure.
And obviously making it so that he is now the interim coach was removed. He's now head coach moving forward.
Right.
They had a bit of a hiccup there on, was it Tuesday night?
Yes. Yeah.
That was a little weird. I attributed that to the white Nike quarter zips. So I was happy to see that last night. They went back to the black, not the white ones. No, they look much better in the black ones.
Okay, I do agree.
So that's what they wore last night, and so I'm attributing that success. So I hope moving forward, you stick with the black ones.
I agree. I like the white ones, though. I feel like they're fine, but that game was scary, though.
It was not a good game whatsoever.
Before the Jameson 3, I was like,
what are we doing?
I mean,
this is Ivy League school.
It's a different It's a different feeling watching them late down the stretch, though. Like, there was a point, I mean, you guys remember during the middle of the year where we're just like, look, it's a close game.
Not
anything
under
10 minutes left, it's over.
It's over.
But now, like, I feel like almost a sense of confidence with this team because they've been in, I mean, they know they've been in this situation so many times. And I don't know what it is about, I mean, I shouldn't say I don't know what it is, but just Diebler, man. I mean, he's been amazing. I love the way he's been interacting with the players. Like, you can tell just in between every timeout. And he's so animated on the sideline. I loved him with the refs, during the Virginia Tech game, like staying on them, making sure, that we're running a smooth ship. But, yeah, Buckeyes have been amazing.
And you could also tell he's happy to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Not that Holtman wasn't happy to be there, but you could tell Holtman had enough.
Yeah, it's different for sure.
Totally
different. You could sense it in the press conferences, like, kind of on his way out. And look, Chris Holtman, great coach. I'm sure he's going to do well, like super well at DePaul. But It's something different with Deebs right now and these guys. Mm-hmm. And they're really starting to, it feels like to build, you know, a strong foundation and a culture going forward.
Now, my whole thing is Holtmann is going to set up his team. Do you think any of the guys currently with Diebler go over Holtmann?
Only way is if it's somebody who's like a freshman, sophomore pissed off about playing time. That might be the only way, but I can't see it.
What about coaching staff?
Well, I could see coaching staff going because I could see Diebler wanting to get, like, Diebler's going to raid John, right? He's going to get John over here. Right. And so I could see some changes maybe there, but not a lot. There might be one coach that goes, I guess. But I like the three-quarter whites. I thought they were sharp looking.
Right?
No, my problem, though.
But I think that it wasn't what they were used to wearing.
I am the most optimistic person when it comes to buying something that's like white and crisp and looks good. Mm-hmm. And
then it just all goes to crap, right?
Within a week, there'll be some kind of stains. I've got three really nice white Ohio State things hanging in my closet that I need to throw away because you can see either the coffee or food stain on there. There is something on there. Every time I'm like, that looks really good. And then I buy it. And like 3 or 4 days later, I'm like, what am I going to do with this?
Man, I just wasted it.
Yeah, I know. It's awful. Seriously, I've got a really nice one that I loved to wear twice. And then after that.
Oh, that sucks.
I put it on sometimes. My wife's like, Jeff, you've got like a picture of the United States and coffee on there. You know, you've got to like, you can't wear that anymore. I'm like, no, you can only see it. She said, no, you can see it. So,
you can just tell people like that you just spilled on it and that you tried to clean it up.
Yeah. Like, did it just happen?
Like, it just happened.
Every time. But, yeah, I run into some of the same circles more often if I wear it a second time. This just happened. Wait, you said you had that on a month and a half ago. Right, last time I saw you, you had that on. So I can't wear white, which sucks. I think I like that Ohio State white stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Can't do it anymore, though.
I'm that way with shoes, I guess. Like, it's impossible to keep white shoes clean.
No,
so.
You can't keep white shoes clean.
Yeah.
All right, we solved that then. Tito can't wear white, and Jen's put the hex on Sister Jean. But coming up next, what are we going to do next? We'll do top of the hour stuff. We'll talk what's going on today, what's already happened today. We'll do that next top of the hour after the update. This is Fan Sports Sunday on the Fan.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. It's a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Prime Sportsbook. Win more when you bet on reduced juice sides at PrimeSportsbook.com. Gambling promo code 1-800-GAMBLER. One of the big stories on the first round of the tournament was James Madison and their upset over Wisconsin. James Madison won outright as a 5-point underdog. They look now to knock off Duke. Duke is a 7-point favorite this afternoon. That one starts at 5:15. For your Prime Sportsbook Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
Garnish your Bloody Mary with sports talk. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, Jen, and Caleb with you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're here until 5 o'clock. Game day follows us. You heard Caleb talk about the Ohio State women's game. They lose to Duke. Duke goes to Sweet 16. They're going to play Syracuse or UConn next.
I hope UConn beats the crap out of them.
Out of Duke?
Mm-hmm.
First Syracuse and Duke, yeah. They play tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, the Orange and Huskies.
Paige Bucket's 40 bomb coming inbound. It's
absolutely
coming.
Absolutely.
So you went for Connecticut. Would you like to see Connecticut and Geno get another title?
You know what? Actually, I would. I would.
Or I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah. I'd be cool with that.
I wouldn't mind that. A UConn-USC game would be fun to watch.
Yeah.
To go to the Final Four, because that'd be the next step after that, right?
Yeah.
How about, I forget which region they're in, but...
Portland.
We could get like a classic Final Four, like South Carolina.
Oh, I see what you're saying,
say you get UConn in there, Notre Dame. That's the other team I was gonna, or I don't remember which bracket they're in though. Maybe like a Stanford. That would just be a classic women's Final Four, I feel like.
Well, let's see. You got South Carolina is going to, obviously they're going to be in the Final Four. Of course, mm-hmm. I said the same thing about Ohio State, and what do I know about anything? But yeah, so South Carolina is in the Region One in New Orleans, Regional One, and in Regional Two, let's see here. They would have to play. They could play either Stanford.
Okay.
Or Texas. I wouldn't mind seeing Stanford. Tara Vanderveer, the former Ohio State coach.
Yeah.
In that one. And then Region 3, which is in, or I'm sorry, region, that was Region 2. That was Region 1 in Portland. Region 2 in New Albany. Let's see, who's the top seed in that one? That's the one that's got Iowa in there and also LSU and UCLA in that region. So one of those.
That's crazy.
So you could have, say, Stanford, South Carolina, Iowa, and then either USC or Connecticut. You know,
I could rock with that.
Yeah, I could do that. That'd be good to watch. That'd be fun to watch.
Wow.
But yeah, since we're at the on the women's side of things, other scores from today, as I mentioned before, about South Carolina, they absolutely rolled North Carolina today. They put 88 points up on them. They could have scored more than that. I think they took their foot off the gas a little bit. But South Carolina gets one in that one to advance to the Sweet 16. Let me get the final score for you so I can tell you exactly what it was. But it was 88-41 was the final in that game, the 1-8 game. Not a lot of – no upsets at all in the first round on the women's side except for one, except for the who was the guy beat? Was it – there was one upset in the women's side.
Louisville. Middle Tennessee State. Shout out to them.
That was the one upset there. Number 4, Kansas State leads Colorado, the number 5 seed. That's a 4-5 seed game, not ranked, but Kansas State leads that one 35-33 at the half. LSU coming up here at starting any time here now almost, but they were under a little bit of the coach under a little bit of fire yesterday, Jen, right?
Yes. Supposedly there is a piece coming out in the Washington Post that paints Kim Mulkey in a negative light. And I'm just like, how can anybody paint Kim Mulkey in a negative light? She's nothing but sunshine and rainbows. That's a lie.
What's funny about that is that she said we were told 2 days ago we had a chance to respond.
And then they didn't respond.
Well, not only that, he's been trying to nail down. The reporters have been trying to get her to talk for 2 years.
2 years.
And she acts like now all of a sudden it's like, well, now you're going to ask me last minute. No.
No, ma'am, but okay.
And she's already put denials out there and threatened lawsuits. Yeah. The story's not even out yet.
No, it's not out yet. Like, it just sucks. Like, I feel bad for the team because they're put in this position where the coach has to focus her time and effort on whatever the hell this thing is going to be about instead of focusing her time and effort on coaching the team.
But so
she could have, but at the same time, it's kind of crappy in that they're deciding now's the time that we're going to put it out and it's going to affect the team. Right. And it's like the players on the team have nothing to do with however the hell she runs her team and however she thinks. And I know a lot of people on her team do not think in the same manner in which she thinks. So there's that, but it's still crappy that it's going to come out and it's going to ruin whatever chance they have at making it back to a championship game.
Marquette punched their ticket on the men's side of the Sweet 16, defeating 10th seeded Colorado. The 2 seed Marquette wins 81-77 in that one. Colorado rallied in the second half. They were down by 11 at the half, Colorado was. Right now, Purdue is playing. Frankenstein at the line. And Utah State is ahead in that game 15-14 right now.
That man is just so big.
Lots of basketball after that. Yeah, James Madison Duke on the men's side. Clemson Baylor. What else we got? Grand Canyon, Alabama.
Be fun.
It should be. Northwestern, UConn, A&M, Houston, also tonight. And then, of course, Yale, San Diego State is the last game of the evening. San Diego State escaped in their first game. And we'll see what happens with Yale in this one. Yale got the upset over Auburn in the first round. So, funny, three of the four 11 seeds won their games. So, the 11 might be the new 12, I guess, in college basketball tournaments. But, so all these games you've watched so far now we're down to what? We've got 23 teams left in the tournament as we sit here today. Do you have someone in your mind you think this team could sneak up on people and make a run into the Final Four?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, I like Grand Canyon, but I don't think they can do it.
I think that their run stops today.
It probably does.
Alabama is not the team that they were last year.
Right.
But they started off very slowly. Even Ohio State beat them down in Destin, but they've come back to, they're a 4 seed and they're trending upwards in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like them and Duke also. I mean, the 4 seeds this year are kind of strong.
We had Auburn lost the 4, but then the other ones, Duke's a 4 seed.
Yeah.
And they're obviously still alive. Kansas got beat.
Yeah.
And then Alabama.
Oh my gosh, that game yesterday, that Gonzaga-Kansas game, that is not what I expected.
No. I was actually just going to say, I really like the Zags. I mean, they looked amazing yesterday. I forgot. Also, they had some guys that some high school dudes, like Dusty Stromer was a guy. I thought he was going to be a stud. I mean, he doesn't even get PT. I mean, I obviously don't know that because I haven't been watching Gonzaga basketball all year, but Also, they got one of the Nembhards. He's a Creighton transfer. I mean, great point guard, really good at controlling the game. I don't know. I feel like every year we kind of just sleep on Gonzaga a little bit. Now we're sleeping on them a little bit. You know, so, at a five seed, they've kind of.
I mean, they've fallen.
The thing is,
with me is I've always believed in them, and I've always put them further and further into my bracket every year. And this year, I was like, no, I'm not going to fall for the same Gonzaga BS. And now look at what they're doing.
I had them in the Sweet 16 originally because I didn't think that. I also didn't have. Kansas moving on. I thought they were going to get upset by Samford, which they were robbed. Neither here nor there. I digress. I didn't think the Zags were going to make it too much further, though, but now they've kind of convinced me after a couple performances.
Ohio State men defeat Virginia Tech 81-73 in the NIT, 8-2 under Jake Diebler, 22-13 on the season. Jameson Battle scored 21 points, made 17 of 18 free throws, added 10 rebounds. Felix Lekpara, 13 points, 6 rebounds. Bruce Thornton, 12 points. And the Buckeyes will face the winner of today's Georgia-Wake Forest game on Tuesday in the quarterfinals, either at Wake Forest, or they'll host Georgia, one or the other. The Ohio State women's hockey team, they are 34-4-0, takes on Wisconsin, 35-5-0 for the NCAA championship. Ohio State's in the Frozen Four for the fourth straight season.
Yay.
And third straight time in the final. Their 34 wins are a program record. Reagan Kirk, their goaltender, is second in Division One in goals against average, averaging 1.11. She had a shutout recently, her ninth shutout of the season, that also leads Division One. The Buckeyes have the top offense, 5.3 goals a game. And Ohio State and Wisconsin this year. Ohio State beat Wisconsin 3. Their players are playing in the championship. Ohio State won 3-0 on November 17th and 2-1 in overtime on November 18th here in Columbus. They won 3-1 in Madison on February 23rd, lost 4-2 on December 24th, lost 6-3 on March 9th in the WCHA final faceoff. And the Buckeyes have allowed only 51 goals this year in 38 games, and 12 will come against the Badgers in the five games they had against them. So in the other 24 games, they've allowed 26 goals total. So
That's crazy.
Impressive, yes. Did you see the headline? I think it was the Michigan Daily. I want to make sure I get it right because I don't want to give credit to the wrong or not get credit for it. The Michigan Daily, and they had a big picture of Juwan Howard on there.
Okay.
And it says Fab Failure.
Oh,
yikes.
Kind of harsh, but Fab Failure is what it says, Jen. And it's a huge picture. Check it out. It's a huge picture of Juwan.
I love it.
So, talking about what happened there, the downfall there, where they've now hired Dusty May.
Yeah.
Who at one point was thought
they
to be
the They were talking about coming up here and being the coach.
Dusty May was being pursued also by Louisville and also by Vanderbilt. And then at one point, yeah, they were saying it was like a done deal. Dusty May's coming here.
Yeah.
Before they realized the gem they have in Jake Diebler here. But so he's taking over the Michigan program. And it'll be interesting to see how quickly, if they can, turn it around. Awful season this year. Juwan came in with no head coaching experience whatsoever.
No.
And he had Beilein's team, John Beilein's team, that had some talent still and had success there. I'm not saying it's all because he was playing with Beilein's guys, but it certainly didn't hurt that. But the last couple of years have been really bad for Michigan, especially this year, and plus the issues with John Sanderson and whatnot. The Jackets lost 4-2 in Vegas. They've lost 4 straight, 7 of 8 since defeating the Oilers on March 7th. The Golden Knights... When they played, the Golden Knights had 88 shots total, 47 on goal against Tarasov last night. So, and like a 22-2 edge in one of the periods. So, I'm not going to blame Tarasov for giving up 4 goals on 47 shots, but that just tells you how weak the defense was if they get that many shots.
Good God.
When they lost to Colorado 6-1 in the previous game, the Jackets allowed a season-high 51 shots on goal with Elvis back there. Not a good way to go.
Elvis is terrible.
They play at Arizona on Tuesday.
Already,
Who's gonna?
Nobody
wants his contract. That's what it is. If the Jackets eat a ton of the contract, they'll be able to get rid of him. But they got to eat a lot of it, which would
just
suck.
Drop kick him out of here, man.
I'm with you.
I can't.
I can't. Yeah, I don't. I can't.
I'm so tired of him.
Jackets are at Arizona on Tuesday. Charlotte FC 2, Crew 0. Sorry, Crew at Nashville SC on Saturday. Charlotte FC. Yesterday, Nashville SC. Saturday.
And it looked like, because obviously I can't watch it because thanks a lot, T-Mobile.
Right.
Not giving it to me for free. like, it looked like Cucho had a goal and then they took it away last night. So not that it would have mattered. They still would have lost, but.
You know, not to get all whiny, but after the Illinois game with Ohio State, what happened today with Duke, what happened there with Cooch, the refs are screwing Ohio.
They are.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna buy all of us as Ohio against everybody shirts.
We should.
Yeah.
Stories all this time. I mean, we could go back to I'm gonna start reminiscing about way too many stuff. We're gonna go down the rabbit hole. So I was thinking Marv last year, the targeting.
You're right.
Referees hate Ohio.
Let's talk
just
about
the way to say it.
I mean, we could even talk about the Ohio State Iowa game, the last game of the season with the women.
Oh yeah.
And it was just like, we love Caitlin Clark. We're the refs. We're going to.
And you're rooting for her. And you're sitting there rooting for her.
Not at that game.
No, but now you are, though.
On the silver platter and all of the accolades. Yeah, no, it is. It's Ohio against everybody.
But yeah, so interesting story about a UFC fight. We'll save that for later on. We'll do that one later on about the UFC fighter getting DQ'd yesterday. But coming up next, there's talk again about expanding the NCAA tournament.
No.
How much should it grow? I don't think Jen is in favor of
it. Good Lord.
But we'll talk about it next. Jen's already given her two-word answer. And we'll do this next. Fan Sports Sunday on the Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one. Yes. The answer is yes. The Fan. Live, local, and still slightly drunk.
I'm not drunk, all right? I just have a speech impediment.
This is Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday. Tito, Jen, Caleb with you. Here till 5 o'clock. Thank you so much for spending time with us on this Sunday. Has been a great day because of the Ohio State loss by the women earlier today.
No.
Tough way to end the season. But look, lots of great basketball on today.
True. I mean, it really is like this is the last big day of multiple games at one time.
Right.
It's going to be a sad Monday without basketball tomorrow.
I guess there's the women's tournament. And then do we get NIT tomorrow too?
I don't know if we get NIT tomorrow. I know we get a Tuesday. I'm not sure about.
So it'll be there. And then there's always the NBA.
Was last time we talked about the NBA on here.
Like, I know.
I like the NBA.
There's like 10 games left in the regular season.
I mean, we're about ready to like, I mean, that's the thing that was like, that NBA season is so long.
Yeah. I mean, 82 games.
Holy cow. Well, and then you go into the playoffs and the playoffs are like 42 games.
True.
And yeah.
It takes forever.
It is about to become like a good part of the season though, where you kind of got like the final stretch, figuring out this playoff, the play-in now. That's made things a little bit more fun towards the end.
And nobody wants to talk about it, but it's opening week for baseball this week. So I'm happy. I love baseball, but I know no one wants to talk it, so that's fine.
Yeah, we can't talk about baseball in the show. I mean, we can.
I mean, there's that whole Shohei thing.
We'll talk about that.
That's not really baseball.
That's not related to baseball.
Like, what the hell is going on there?
Right.
But, yeah. But, hey, happy opening week of baseball if you participate like I do.
So, the NCAA basketball tournament, they talk about expanding the men's tournament. I don't know if the men's and women's both, but at least the men's, I know that. And, we know, no one ever reduces the number of playoff teams.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, once you go forward, you're not going back.
No. Right.
And I don't know how much is too much in this one. We know we've seen with college football without even playing their first 12-game year. They're talking about going to 14 already. Basketball, the NBA added the play-in games. Baseball's added playoff teams quite a bit lately. Football has expanded to where there's 7 in each conference now that make it. And that's 14 out of the 32 teams. There was once a point in time, Jen, when hockey had 21 teams,
mm-hmm.
21 teams, this is like 1981-ish, and 16 made the playoffs.
Oh, my God.
They would play an 80-game schedule to eliminate 5 teams.
That's ridiculous.
That's like my fantasy football league where we have 10 teams and 8 make the playoffs.
The LA Kings made the playoffs in the 1981-82 season with a record of 24-41 and 15 ties. That's back pre-shootout. They had ties then. But they had 15 ties. 24 wins, 41 losses. 24 wins in an 80-game season got them into the playoffs. Now, NHL obviously expanded quite a bit as far as number of teams go, but still 16 get in. there's talk like, well, if you put too many teams in the NCAA tournament, you know, putting more in there, it's going to devalue the regular season. I think the regular season's already devalued.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how many regular season non-Ohio State college basketball games, men's games, did you watch this year start to finish?
Maybe. What do you got, Jen?
Are we talking including the tournament?
Not including the tournament. Before the tournament starts.
That would be a hard zero.
It might be a 0-2 start to finish.
Maybe like two, but that's...
Right.
You know. Yeah, it wasn't many. It was not many.
So it already doesn't matter. I don't want to add too much to it. But if you want to add in another... Let's see, they're at 68 right now. If you wanted to put in another 8 teams and do another play-in round, like another, you know, more play-in games, and get to 8 more games, 4 more games would be 8 teams, that'd get you 76. I don't want to go much bigger than that, though.
No.
I won't lie. I forget where we were talking about this the other day. Me, Reeser, and Tyvus on FanSports Saturday. But expanding to 128 just seems ridiculous.
That's stupid. That's like, so dumb. Yeah,
right?
That's so dumb.
Okay, I'm glad we're on the same page about that, because I honestly think that the tournament is perfect the way that it is now. It's like I could see a couple more play in games.
Right. You know, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Some of the 11s, but
I would do that. But I would then put the play in games though. You can't put them all in Dayton. I would, to cut back on the travel a little bit, put them at the sites they're going to be in if they win. You know what I mean? Like, okay.
Well, that
for
makes
instance,
sense. Yeah, yeah if that you're makes gonna, total sense.
Right, you do it that way instead. It sucks for Dayton, but if that's the way they do it, though, because I know the city enjoys doing that, having that there. But I could get behind it that way. But yes, the tournament seems to go by so fast, though. Because you figure, like, you know, we got all ramped up for Thursday when it starts up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, after today, we're down to 16
Thursday
teams.
And Friday fly by. Yeah.
Right.
And it just, before you know it, it's like, oh, gosh, we are already to the round of 32.
Right.
And it's Saturday. And then we're almost done with the round of 32 now. And granted, we have to wait until next week. But still, it's like, oh, now we're down to 16 when we came from 64 4 days ago.
Yeah.
What the hell?
It does fly by. And then it's just like, boom, like it's like you're going through withdrawal. Like I need some more basketball.
It's just so, like, I mean, it's like it starts at noon and it goes to midnight, and it's awesome.
If you wanted to go to 90, which is some of the talks have been going to 90 teams or 96 even at one point.
Oof.
If you do that, you have to kill the NIT.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, then right? I mean, it's just cannibalizing itself if you decide that, you know, the NIT is still going to stick around, and so that means you're going to get your, you know, 100th best team.
Right.
And nobody needs to see that.
I guess I wouldn't be opposed to something like that. I still think 96 is a lot, but
this is the only way that you could do it. I brought this up before. If you wanted to keep the NIT,
yeah.
Okay. You expand the play-in games. The losers of the play-in games can go to the NIT.
Oh, there you go.
You know what I mean? Right, so let's say if you add
that
in another
sense.
Anybody who loses a playing game, anybody who does, whatever, how many, if you have 8 playing games, 12, 16, whatever you have, all those teams that lose can go to the NIT.
I like that.
That's the only way I think I would do it, is just be able to, if you can pull that off. But I don't want to get too big, though. But I do want more basketball.
We spread it out more then. I mean, honestly, you can spread out and do the round of 64 over 4 days. And then the weekend after, you can do the 32 over 4 days. Like, you can do this.
Yeah.
It just means it's not on top of each other.
Right.
And you don't need to go 4 wide on your screen like I've done, like, all weekend.
Right.
You can totally do it. It just will expand it out by a month.
It'll expand it out, yeah. And that's the big, ugly, the line now. Purdue's up by 8. About almost a little less 5 minutes to go in that first half of that game. But yes, I'm curious what they do with that. And like the NIT, yes, look, the NIT is still, if it weren't for Ohio State, none of us would have any reason to follow the NIT.
No.
You know what I mean? There'd be no reason for us to do it. I certainly would not.
No.
But so we follow up the college basketball. But yeah, once it gets, it'll never get smaller again. Everything grows and grows, and you got to be careful about it. You don't want to do too much with it. I think it'd be very hard to do too much with the NCAA tournament. Because even if they go to 128, say they did that.
Oh, God.
If they did that, we just wouldn't pay as much attention got down to 64. I mean, that's all.
Yeah, probably.
We wouldn't be as excited to see, you know, the play in games, and we wouldn't watch many of them unless it involved like a really good story or Ohio State. But we wouldn't pay too much attention to it other than that. So having more of it would certainly bring in more money. If they did it at the sites where the actual games are going to be played on the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing, that gives those fans and that team more of a sense of being in the tournament as well.
True.
If they're out there for that. So, all right, coming up next, several NFL teams recently acquired quarterbacks and implied there's no competition for the starting job. That's a mistake. We'll talk about that next. Fan Sports Sunday on the Fan.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Prime Sportsbook. Win more when you bet on reduced juice sides at PrimeSportsbook.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Can Northwestern pull off the miracle tonight against one-seeded UConn? Northwestern and Boo Booey are the biggest underdog of the day as the Wildcats are giving UConn a 13.5. To pull the upset, Northwestern is 7-1 on the money line. For your Prime Sportsbook Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
Help.
During weekend programming,
pants are optional.
Look at my butt!
However, leather chairs may have been a bad choice.
You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, Jen, and Caleb with you till 5 o'clock. Thank you so much for spending part of your Sunday with us. Now that we have turned the corner of the women's basketball team, I know the men are still alive. That's great. But we're inching closer to football season. The draft is in April. And, you know, all the free agency moves that happened during the legal tampering period.
Yes.
The legal trades that happened. What's
legal.
That, Gabe?
Legal tampering.
Yeah, that's legal tampering.
Funniest.
Makes
funniest
a lot of sense
to me.
It's my favorite.
And the Steelers, who signed Russell Wilson and then acquired Justin Fields in a trade, say Russell Wilson's a starter, not Fields.
Okay.
There's no competition.
That's a good idea.
Seahawks get Sam Howell from Washington. And they said, Geno Smith's our starter.
I don't care about them.
Giants get Drew Lock. Daniel Jones is our guy.
That is so dumb.
And I don't understand.
Oh, it's the dumbest thing ever.
It's nothing but stroking egos when you say this guy's our starter.
I'm sorry, Daniel Jones, there is no ego to be stroked on that man.
It's just...
He is pathetic.
Kind of hilarious they even had, like, no disrespect to Drew Lock.
No disrespect to Drew Lock, but Daniel Jones, he's our guy.
Yeah, like, that's crazy they had to come out and say that.
He's our number one.
I just don't know why
you... He's a piece of trash.
I don't understand why you have to announce it. Now...
I don't know either.
It's quite possible for Russell Wilson, he may have convinced, I'm not convinced I'm the starter. And they said, okay, you're the starter.
Until you suck
which tells
hard
you
right enough.
That'd be a bad
and
thing
that
there.
First game and you're gone.
Isn't that, I mean,
out of here.
Last year for the Steelers, right? Trubisky's your starter.
Well, they kept that dumbass in way longer than they needed to.
And then they bring in Pickett 2 years ago. They brought in Pickett then after that.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, it was 2 years ago when they said that. No,
it just feels like one long, never-ending.
I don't understand the need to announce it now.
It just makes you look stupid is what it does.
And I'm surprised, honestly, that a coach like Tomlin lets that happen. There's some coaches I see.
He's so tired of everything that he's just letting it happen.
I bet if you ask Belichick some of those years, who's your starting quarterback when Brady's there?
Right.
We'll just have to, you know, see.
Well, that's what he would say.
It's just, you know, no one's guaranteed a job. I'm not guaranteed a job. See,
you're a great Belichick, Tito.
But it's just like, that's the kind of like, I'd rather have my team.
Look at Gene Cady.
Is that Gene Cady?
I would put him on my
oh,
death
wow,
pool.
Here we go.
Sorry.
Jen is now killed.
Out of bounds.
Man.
Sorry. I just was like, holy crap, that's what Gene Cady looks like now. Anyway, moving on. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady.
I'm just, I would want football players, and I'd say, look, no job is secure, not even the kicker. If I can now come down and beat your butt in the preseason, you're my kicker. And you got to live with it. It's the way it is. Yeah. I just don't understand why they feel the need to do this.
I mean, for Russell Wilson only, I assume it's just because they wanted to get him there so bad that they were just like, anything that you want is yours until you prove that you still suck. And then we'll take you out and you will back up whoever.
Right. If they start off 0-3 and Wilson's terrible, let me tell you what, game four, Fields is out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen.
They better not let it go to game three. With what they did with Trubisky and how bad that was, and as long as that lasted,
right,
they better not do that again.
I think Russ is going to play just well enough. Well, I'm hoping, but I think he's going to be just good enough to keep the job
for the whole season.
Yeah, but they can't pull him for Fields just yet. But then, like, too much time will go by, and they're like, well, now what do we do?
I just wonder they're going to pull that stuff where they bring Fields in, like, when you're near the goal line, and he's your goal line quarterback.
I
would hate that.
I don't think so, because Wilson's still mobile.
He is. Wilson can extend plays. Not as mobile, though, as Justin Fields is.
I would hate to see Justin Fields reduced to that kind of role, though.
I know.
It would suck.
It would almost be
I can think of is like Chris Leak and Tim Tebow in Florida, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. The problem I've got, though, there's talk that the Steelers and Wilson are both interested in doing a longer-term deal.
Yeah. Mm.
And, like, I want to see Fields be the starting quarterback there. Russell Wilson's 36 when the season starts. I don't want Russell Wilson there for 4 more years.
No.
The problem is you've got till May 2nd to decide if you're going to start, if you're going to pick up the fifth-year option on Fields.
Yeah.
Which is $25 million, which I doubt they will. I don't think you can. I don't, just because if you're telling me you're going to sign Wilson to a longer term deal, you can't have Fields on the books for $25 million.
No.
Okay.
Right.
If you're convinced that Russell Wilson is going to sign a long term deal, you're convinced this is our guy for the next 3 years, and you're going to sign to a deal, you can't afford. The reason they can afford a lot of the things they're doing right now is because of the fact the quarterback room is so cheap. If it all of a sudden jumps up exponentially, and this is year 4 for Justin Fields, but if it'll be year 5 when that comes in, it would be next year when the $25 million would hit. And I'm sorry, the 25-26 season. If you're convinced that Russell Wilson's going to be your guy for the next 3 years, you can't pick up Fields' option, and you might lose him after a year.
Yeah.
Which I don't want to see happen. I want to see what happens if Fields gets a fair shake in Pittsburgh.
I would love that, but I don't. If they keep just reiterating that it's Wilson and not Fields,
right?
Then will he really have a fair shake?
That's the thing. I wish there was time to debate, the time to wait before you pick up the fifth-year option. You know what I mean? Like, I wish it could wait until later in the season.
When are OTAs? I mean, they're after that.
It's got to be after all, yeah, because the draft happens right before the time to pick up the fifth-year options. So, you won't know much. And even so, you're not going to learn much about Russell Wilson or Justin Fields at OTAs.
Yeah.
You know, it's pro day, you know, all over. Like, you're throwing his shorts usually and things like that. So it's not like there's a lot. There's a lot of contact and like that going on. But it just seems to me like if I was the Steelers, I wouldn't commit to Wilson. I wouldn't commit to. I'm not saying that you need to give Fields the $25 million option, but I mean, you could still obviously tag him and things like that and keep him around beyond that. But
yeah.
I just have to believe that, look, this year, it might make sense that Russell Wilson's the guy. This year, it might make sense. 2 years from now, I'm not convinced it does, though.
No. I think he's going to be 37.
Right. And so, and Wilson just, he's not a big guy. He's a lot of the quarterbacks that stuck around for, you know, late in their careers were a little taller. Drew Brees, maybe more the exception of the rule, but most of the guys that lately, Big Ben played later on, and not at a great level. It's still a good level because of his size. He was able to do that, and you'll see that sometimes. But Brady was not small.
No,
but I just don't know if Wilson can endure playing into his late 30s at a high level. Optimistic though, because I think that Tomlin's going to get a lot. The fact they get a new offensive coordinator there with Matt Canada gone is a huge thing. The Seahawks, I think Geno Smith's a better option than Sam Howell now. But Geno Smith, though, for, you know, two-thirds, more than that, probably 80% of his career was not that good.
No.
So
it just boggles my mind that now, like, that he's found his footing with Seattle.
Yeah.
That's where he's become reliable.
Yeah.
You know, not like really, really good, but a reliable quarterback.
He's a reliable quarterback. That's true. Yes. So we'll see what happens to that, though. We'll follow that Seattle situation. Obviously, the Giants thing. I think the Giants thing, the thing about Daniel Jones, he can't stay healthy.
Oh, this is just, that whole team is going to be a disaster all season.
Did you guys see, there's a clip of Saquon talking about his daughter, like he when he told her that he was going to sign with Philly?
Yeah, what happened?
So he's like, I guess, you know, his daughter knew, obviously, that the Giants have had their troubles with the Eagles, mm-hmm. you know, constantly losing pretty much.
Yeah. Right?
So he, like, tells her, and she's like, does that mean that we're going to win now?
Oh,
and,
wow.
Oh, no.
It's just great. Like, every Giants fan watching that I know just has to, it's just like you're getting shot in the heart.
Sure,
like,
sure. Ugh.
I love that.
Speaking of the Giants, could one of the best prospects be falling to the Giants in the draft? My
oh,
God,
no.
I hope not. We'll talk about that next. Fan Sports Sunday on the Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds. Bye-bye. Sports talk, weekend style. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday. I'm Tito. She's Jen. He's Caleb. Thank you so much for spending time with us here today on the Sunday. You were out at Pro Day for Ohio State, right?
I was.
And there's normally a huge contingent of NFL coaches and executives out there.
Like, yeah.
Mike Tomlin's out there,
yeah.
most time. He wasn't there this year?
No, I think they were competing against USC's Pro Day.
Okay.
Also, it's probably because they knew I was going to be there.
That's the other reason?
Yeah, I mean, it was not what anyone really expected it to be, which, I mean, it was a bummer, but, you know, well, it is what it is.
So, yeah, the fact that, you know, Ohio State does not have, so many guys coming back this year.
Right.
Right. So it's not, we're not a situation where Ohio State's got like a bunch. And the fact that Harrison didn't work out, although they didn't know that before they committed.
I mean, that was the surprising thing is like, I was totally geared like, okay, yes, we get to go see Harrison. And I'm like, okay, well, who's going to throw to him and all this other stuff? It's going to be fun. And maybe CJ Stroud will show up. Well, CJ Stroud was there. That was cool.
Yeah.
He was just there. You know,
right? Like, yeah,
he didn't do anything, and Marvin was there, but he didn't do anything either. I mean, his whole thing is, you know what I am, and you know what I can do, which I don't blame him. But at the same time, it's just like we haven't seen you in a while, you know?
Right, and I it doesn't bother me either. They didn't do anything. I don't think it should hurt his draft stock.
It doesn't. But I mean, things are always very fluid with that, in mm-hmm. that. Things are always changing. You never know who's going to go first. I mean, maybe the Bears aren't going to take Caleb Williams with the first spot. Maybe they're going to go with somebody else. Who knows? But it's just like, I hope this doesn't mean that we continue to see Marvin like kind of fall, kind of like what we did with CJ Stroud last year. They were like talking bad about him and his ability to take the test and how his test scores weren't that great. And,
right.
you know, him against Bryce Young. And we saw what happened with Bryce Young and we saw what CJ Stroud could do. So it's just like, you know, talk a fair game, but let's just see what it looks like on paper when it happens.
So there's newest reporting, and this is lying season in the NFL anyway.
Like, yeah. Okay, oh,
so
yeah.
People put out false information. By the way, I would not be the least bit surprised if the CJ Stroud news last year, I would not be the least bit shocked if that came from either Stroud's representative
yeah.
or the Texans. Just put it out there. Because they wanted Stroud at 2.
Oh.
Or maybe one of Stroud's people wanted Stroud not in Carolina with the mess that was there.
True.
So that would not, I would not be shocked to hear that. But Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers from LSU, the top two receivers consensus across the board. There's talk that Nabers might actually be the pick ahead of Harrison. Now, we assume the top three picks will be quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
With the Bears, Commanders, and Patriots. And at 4, you've got Arizona. Now, Arizona has more needs than just receiver. And there's going to be teams that, for whatever reason on God's green earth, like J.J. McCarthy, and want to jump up to get him.
Yeah.
So, if someone trades Arizona to get McCarthy, say Minnesota does. Now, you got Arizona out of that spot. Minnesota takes McCarthy. Now, you're down to 5, the 5th pick. Chargers own that. Harbaugh wants big guys, and they have a lot of needs also.
Mm-hmm.
You could see the Chargers maybe trading back or taking an offensive tackle. That would lead you to 6 to the Giants. Mm. I don't want Marvin Harrison Jr. with the Giants. I'd rather see him with Michigan's Jim Harbaugh than with the Giants.
Yes, I agree.
I totally agree.
Oh, it would be. Please, no. Don't ruin this man's career.
So terrible.
I just don't want to see. That's why I'm really hoping that he goes to the Cardinals. Like, I feel like that's just good. Look, I know how people feel about Kyler. I'm a Kyler guy.
Sure.
I think he's definitely, he's at least good enough to, you know, tap into all the potential that Marv's got. I mean, that's
I don't want to see him go 3 to New England. And New England's saying they're open to whatever. Washington's fielding trade offers for 2. But no, I don't want to see him in New England. I don't want to see him with the Giants. I don't even want to see him with the Titans.
No,
because everything down there is really uncertain.
I will say, though, the Titans wouldn't be, of these situations, I guess I should say, I wouldn't be the worst, just because, I mean, Will Levis is still, like, kind of young. I'm not necessarily a believer yet, but right. And they'd have a decent number too, because
you got Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins,
and they just signed forgot about
Calvin Ridley, so. Mason Rudolph is there now.
He's their backup.
That's the savior.
Okay, so
Tennessee, that could be interesting.
Okay, let's just play this game. Let's say that he falls past the Giants. Let's say the Giants say, you know, we like Malik Nabers better, we'll take him.
Okay,
then you get to 7 where the Titans are. I think the Titans would go offensive line.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Then you got the Falcons. Now, they need defensive help. They're pretty low on offense.
Yeah, they probably got too many offensive guys now.
What do you say he slips to 9 to the Bears? Now, you go there, you've got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Caleb Williams coming in, and you put Marvin on that team. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the Jets at 10.
Ooh.
Oh.
With Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams.
Oh, my God. That would be lovely.
Anyway. So just some things to think about, though, with the draft, though. And so I'm not saying Harris is going to drop, but with the trades that could be made, you could make a case that Harrison might slip down to 9 or 10.
If he ends up with the Giants, I'm going to send him a care package every week.
I don't want him there at all.
I'm so sorry you're here.
But the best thing is, the good thing about Harris has got such a wide catch radius that with an errant quarterback like Daniel Jones.
I mean, that is true. That is so true. He can go anywhere within a 20-yard radius, basically.
He's got the wide reach. It's perfect for someone like Daniel. And he caught passes last year for Kyle McCord. So he's used to this. I'm just kidding. That's not fair. Kyle McCord was not terrible. He was not Daniel Jones terrible. But no more Tommy DeVito there, it looks like. DeVito, I don't think he's on the roster anymore.
Since
I don't know what his agent now is doing, and other than overcharging pizza places. Yeah.
Tommy Cutlets.
Right, yes. We'll see. With the draft, though, it's fascinating. I can't wait for the draft to happen and see how all this plays out, because someone's going to overpay for J.J. McCarthy. Someone's going to draft him way too early.
Oh, yeah, but that's fun, though. I can't wait to see where he goes so we can all sit back and laugh.
I really hope it's not Minnesota also.
I know.
As a Justin Jefferson guy, I mean, he's been carrying my fantasy team the past 3 years.
Right.
I love Justin Jefferson,
and I hope the best for him. Like, I don't want him there anymore.
I'm in the same boat.
Who's the receiver they just got? They got Jordan Addison last year.
Yeah.
You got Addison, you got him, and you got TJ Hockenson on that team.
Yeah.
And they just signed Aaron Jones.
I mean, right? It's not, you just need to be good enough.
Yes. Yeah.
Just
yes.
Be good enough.
You just need, like, Timmy Cousins, like the other version of Kirk Cousins in there, something like that, who can just manage the game and not be great.
Yeah,
you know, that's all you need, is somebody like that there for the Vikings. But so the draft, though, it'll come up end of April up in Detroit this year is where it will be, and an amazing spectacle every season. Can't wait for that. So all right, coming up next, we'll get to the top of the hour. We got an update coming from Caleb. We'll tell you everything else going on right now in the world of sports and what's going to go on the rest of the day. This is Fan Sports Sunday, 97.1 The Fan.
Matty Ice has a large tattoo on his calf of LeBron eating a lion. I have nothing else to say. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Prime Sportsbook. Win more when you bet on reduced juice sides at PrimeSportsbook.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. One of the big stories of the first round of the tournament was James Madison and their upset over Wisconsin. James Madison won outright as a 5-point underdog. They look now to knock off Duke. Duke is a 7-point favorite this afternoon. That one starts at 5:15. For your Prime Sportsbook Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
Instead of annoying national people talking to you this weekend, we've opted for annoying local people. This is Fan Sports Sunday.
You got to push the on button there, Jen. You forgot to turn my mic on.
I have no control over your mic. I can only control mine.
Don't need excuses right now.
Okay.
It's a team game. No I in team.
There is me.
There is a me, though. OSU women lose to Duke. I did the show sheet earlier today.
Yeah, you jinxed it.
If you really think I have that much control over if something gets jinxed or not.
You fart face.
And I spilled coffee over everyone's white three-quarter.
Yes.
I wish we wouldn't lose to Duke. I almost said win with my Ron Burgundy over here. But they did lose to Duke today, 75-63. The Ohio State women's season ends with 3 losses in 4 games. Duke will advance to Sweet 16 and play either Syracuse or UConn next. The Orange and Huskies play tomorrow night at 6 p.m., but I don't care anymore.
I hope they both lose.
That'd be great. A tie. Make it a tie and eliminate both of them for all I care. The women's basketball tournament, no big upsets. One big upset so far through the first 2 rounds. But there's another one brewing potentially. Colorado leads Kansas State. They're 5-4. Not a big upset, but they're up 52-46. Middle Tennessee, the 11th seed, leading number 3 LSU at the half, 36-32. Amid all the other talk surrounding LSU and their head coach. Earlier today, South Carolina absolutely rolled, throttled, whatever other verb you want to put in there, North Carolina, 88-41. Over on the men's side, right now, as you heard Caleb say, Purdue is having their way. Zach Edey has 21 at the half in this game. 21 points, I think 11 rebounds. Also, he had a big game in their first round win as well. But Purdue looking pretty good there at Utah State, 49-33. Earlier today, Marquette defeated Colorado, 81-77. We've got more games on tap today still. As on the men's side, we got James Madison Duke coming up. Is that the next game going on? I think it is.
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
5:15, which, you know, it's like I'm sitting here with my arm out with the needle for the heroin in there, just waiting for the next game. And after what we had the first 2 days, and I got to do this now. Clemson Baylor tonight at 6:10. That's 6-3. Grand Canyon at 12-4. Alabama at 7:10. 9 Northwestern. I feel like I had a stroke there. Number 1 UConn. That's 7:45 tonight. A&M, the 8 at Houston, or against Houston, I should say. That's at 8:40. And then we close out with Yale, San Diego State. I'm on Morning Juice tomorrow. This game starts at 9:40. That would put me in bed after midnight.
Watch it on the DVR.
Well, yeah, but I want to talk about it tomorrow. Like, I don't care what happens after the show. Well, I'll move on to the next day of stuff.
Right.
I don't know if I can stay up for that one or not.
Don't stay up. You just get all screwed up. And I mean, you're on all week, so that's the last thing you want to do is start your week off of getting up at the butt crack of dawn and not getting enough sleep.
I don't think that you could possibly, maybe you can, fathom the ramifications if I do stay up. Let me tell you why. Kids spring break now.
Uh-huh.
Got a 9 and a 7. And wife home all week.
Yeah.
Looking forward to us doing some family things. I got to work my other job still, but
right.
If I were to stay up and watch it, tomorrow's the nicest weather day of the week to go out and do stuff as a family outside.
Yeah.
And if I come home and try to take a 3-hour nap, you talk about hell.
Yeah.
She'll be so mad at me. So I've got to decide.
Tito, get some sleep.
Marital strife or Yale basketball.
Get some sleep.
And I got to tell you,
business decisions.
Might be a poll on the X.
Oh.
We'll just see. Look, honestly, that's a smart decision. I don't make a lot of smart decisions.
I don't know how anyone can get up that early and be on air. Like, I've only done that show 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
Oh, that kicks my butt, man.
Yes. Yes, it can. It's definitely a difficult.
By 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm just like, my brain is nothing. I mean, it's not like it's always nothing, but it's really
bad. It's really nothing there. So we got that going. Ohio State got a win in the NIT, 81-73. They're 8-2 under Jake Diebel. Jameson Battle, 21 points on 17 of 18 free throws. No 3-pointers, had 10 rebounds. Akpara had 13 points, 6 rebounds. Bruce Thornton, 5-12 in the field, scored 12 points. 22-13 Buckeyes play the winner of Georgia and Wake Forest today. They'll play on Tuesday in the quarterfinals. If it's Wake Forest, it's on the road. And if it is in Winston-Salem, as we've learned, and if it's Georgia, it will be here.
I believe that game just started, actually.
Did
too.
It?
Yeah. I'll keep us tacked on with some score updates. Yeah.
Ohio State women playing Wisconsin for the NCAA championship face-off should have already happened.
Yeah, they're about a minute in.
About a minute in. Buckeyes not ahead yet.
No, not yet.
Okay, that's for the second title in 3 years for Ohio State. They made four straight Frozen Four appearances there. Dusty May hired to replace Juwan Howard as men's college basketball coach over there at Michigan. And Dusty May had been rumored to be the next Ohio State coach. Then Louisville was after him. They are such a dumpster fire over there.
Yes, they are.
Louisville basketball might have dipped lower than Nebraska football with what they've done.
Man.
And which is too bad because Louisville basketball used to really mean something.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it was like a blue blood, man.
Yeah, it was. Denny Crum had them rolling for a long time. Patino led them to the NCAA championship also. But that vacated eventually or not? Did they have to vacate that one? I can't remember if Louisville had to do it under Patino. But anyway, Patino, you know, obviously now at St. John's. But yeah, so Louisville used to be a much, much more revered college basketball franchise. Jackets lost 4-2 in Vegas. They've lost four straight, 7 of 8, since defeating the Oilers back on March 7th.
That's awful.
Golden Knights had 88 shots, 47 on goal against Tarasov. CBJ lost their previous game 6-1 to Colorado. They gave up 51 shots on goal there.
Oh, boy.
With Merzlinkis back there. CBJ's at Arizona on Tuesday. It seemed like after they beat Vegas and beat Edmonton, you know, last month, or maybe it might have been last, end of last month, beginning of this month, whatever. When they beat those two teams, though, it seemed like this team's really starting to play better now. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're eliminated now, by the way, officially, but it was like they're not going to make the playoffs, but still, this is kind of cool the way they're playing, and then they just go to hell. So, in Arizona on Tuesday, though, for that one, but it's been a rough couple of games for the Jackets. Charlotte FC beat the Crew 2-0. Crew at Nashville SC on Saturday. Did you see this MMA story?
No. Well, okay. I kind of did, but not really.
All right. So MMA's got their big event in Vegas last night.
Yeah.
Igor Severino. And he's a Brazilian fighter, 20 years old. He was making his Octagon debut at a UFC fight night. So huge deal for him. 20 years old.
Very big deal, especially that young of an age.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's 20 years old making his debut in the UFC Octagon. And this guy comes in. He was 9-0. He was fighting against somebody. Let me look at the guy's name here now. But he was fighting against Andre Lima, who came in undefeated also. In the first round, before the end of the first round, right near the end of it, Severino was disqualified for biting.
Oh.
It's Mike Tyson action.
Yes. Yeah. He bit Lima's arm. 252 of the first round, and shortly afterwards when this all happened. So like you see, it's a weird, you see the picture and you can see where the bite mark is on the guy's arm.
Oh God.
And the ref automatically stops the fight. Mm-mm. Dana White said those were two up and coming undefeated fighters. If you get frustrated and want out of the fight, there are plenty of ways to do it. But the worst thing you can do is bite your opponent. It's an awful thing to do.
Yeah.
He said, now you get cut and lose the biggest opportunity of your life, not to mention you're going to have real problems with the Nevada State Athletic Commission. White cut him from the UFC after that. Said, you're done. You're never fighting here again.
Wow.
Which I understand why, but still, think about it. You're 20 years old and you do that. It's your first big fight with the UFC in the Octagon.
You're like, let me get a nice chunk out of this guy's arm.
And he bites the guy's arm. Like they're not going to catch that?
Right.
Like, you know, like, you can't get away with it. There's no way.
Well, and doesn't he have a mouth guard?
I don't know.
Did he spit it out? What did he do with the mouth guard?
That's a good idea. I'm not sure. I don't know. But so that happened in the UFC.
Ew.
Biting. That's tough.
Yeah. The kid just threw away a potential, you know, a lot of money there. He threw away there because you think if you get a win there, even if it's a loss, you're still alive and you're still fighting there. Well, you're probably alive, but yes.
Well, especially, I mean, if you just entered the UFC, the future is looking good and, you know, you can come back from this loss, but no, obviously now you can't.
Right. Yeah. Yes. That's a bad look for the UFC to have that happen with them. So NCAA tournament now, as we're, like I said, we're down to 23 teams and you said your Final Four is still intact.
It is. I have, Connecticut and North Carolina. Houston and Tennessee, and then I have Connecticut versus Houston in the final with Connecticut winning.
Is what team has impressed you the most so far? Is it Connecticut?
I think so, because I really, I don't know, I felt really uneasy putting them in there.
Right.
Now, granted, it's still the first weekend.
Sure.
So there's still much more going on. But yeah, they did. They are the most surprising, I honestly think.
We've got a little more data on the Boilermakers, but what they've done these first two games and what Zach Edey's done has really impressed the hell out of me.
I mean, they've done, I mean, nothing can be as bad as what happened to them this time last year here in Columbus. I mean, you've got a Fairleigh Dickinson team who was a 16 seed beating a one seed. Like, that's trash.
Yep. But in the tournament, though, in their first game against Grambling, he had 30 points and 21 rebounds, three blocks. Fantastic game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got 21 and 12 right now, early second half, in this one against Utah State. And that's what you call exercising the demons when you can do that way.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the Big Ten, yet Purdue's looking great. They're going to be a Sweet 16 team. I think Illinois will be a Sweet 16 team. I don't expect Northwestern, obviously, to get a win here.
No.
Michigan State already got beat. Wisconsin bowed out right away. So, but as you're watching this, though, it's just the Purdue's guard play is going to be the difference here. I had them going to the final and losing to Connecticut also. I think that's, I also like Connecticut quite a bit, obviously. But if Zach Edey can stay out of foul trouble, and if they can avoid getting refs that ref the Ohio State-Illinois game or today's Ohio State-Duke game or even the Crew game against Charlotte last night, if they can avoid those referees, then I think that Purdue's a real threat to win this thing. They've just looked so dominating in the game and a half we're watching here, Jen.
You're totally right. I mean, Zach Edey is doing Zach Edey things, which is so funny because, like, you think about watching Zach Edey, and honestly, like, there's no play of his that ever sticks out to me.
No.
Because he just stands there and does the bare minimum. Just
in towers over everyone.
Right, like, that's just what he does. And so it's just, I don't know, I'm 62-39. That's not surprising whatsoever.
What double-digit seed has the best chance of advancing today when you've got Yale, right?
Mm-hmm. They're a 13.
Yale's a 13. Grand Canyon's a 12.
James Madison is a 12.
James Madison's a 12. Madison's got Duke. Yale's got San Diego State. Grand Canyon's got Alabama. You think Grand Canyon's got the best chance?
Against Alabama?
Well, do you like James Madison better? Do you like
what about Yale against
San Diego State?
I mean, I know San Diego State were in the Final Four last year,
right,
but I don't think they've got it. And I also, like, that's one piece of the bracket that has been totally destroyed for me.
Right.
So I'm rooting for Yale with this one to go on against Connecticut.
Caleb, who has the best chance in your mind?
I didn't see the Yale game against Auburn. I do like San Diego State, though. So I picked Grand Canyon to make to the Sweet 16 in my bracket. So,
oh, you did? Okay.
I'm still riding with them. But I do think, I will say, I believe James Madison might have a better chance of beating Duke than they have of beating Bama. Like, I had Grand Canyon, I had Bama getting upset by Charleston. So that was really the main reason why. But, I mean, they looked really good against Charleston. So we'll see. But James Madison, like, I know Dave was talking about this earlier on the money. It's not the best Duke team this year, you know? Like, they are good. They're solid. Kyle Filipowski's good. Jeremy Roach's been there a few years. Jared McCain's a stud freshman. But they're, like, definitely beatable, though. So
yeah. The Duke, Kentucky, Kansas NCAA tournament shine just seems to have dulled for me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I say that after telling you I picked Kentucky in my Final Four.
Oh, same. Me too.
Not smart. No. Not smart. But it's like, you know, they did not win a postseason game this year because they lost the first round of the SEC tournament also.
Mm-hmm.
And they have enough talent. And so does Duke. And so did Kansas. Well, Kansas couldn't stay healthy. They just couldn't. That was a big part of it. Matter of fact, let's do that. Next, we're going to talk about something Bill Self said. I think he may have shortchanged his team this year. We'll talk about that. Fan Sports Sunday on the Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. Just because it's the weekend doesn't mean we shut up. This is Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, Jen, Caleb with you. They should just end, like Jen said, this Purdue game. They are ahead by 28 points on Utah State. Well, 13 and a half minutes to go in that game.
It'll be interesting to see what the margin is when it's all over.
So Bill Self for Kansas has had a ton of success there. Very successful head coach. And I don't have a problem with what he was thinking. I have a problem with the fact he said it publicly. Here's what he said. They got beat 89-68 by Gonzaga after they led at the half, which is just amazing. Now, Kansas has had injury problems this year. They've had numerous players out, and the guys missed the end of the season of the Big 12 tournament, all that and whatnot. But after the game, and like I say, I don't care if Self did this. What I care, what I think is dumb is the fact that he said it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's his quote. For the last month, I've been thinking about next season, to be honest.
What?
He's not in the moments during the game, but obviously we had eight guys on scholarship that were healthy. They're late. Injuries are part of the game, and that's not an excuse. But we could have done a much better job as a staff putting more guys out there that we could play. So he said, he admits that for the last month, he's been thinking about. That's something I've thought about for a long time, he also said then later on. And so, like, that's where I feel like that's a slap in the face to your current team.
It really is. It's like, well, how much time have you been devoting to looking into the future as opposed to looking into what you're going to do once you get out of your conference tournament and into the big dance?
Yeah. So it's, that's the part that's weird to me that he would come out and say that.
This is a dumbass.
And it's okay if he was thinking it, because like I said, you know, if you're on a, crappy team, if your team's had a crappy season, and you know because you're unhealthy, you're not going to make it. You might start. You probably should start plotting out next season.
Yeah.
But don't come out and say it.
No. I mean, everybody knows that you're plotting ahead. I mean, that's what recruiting is for, and that's what all of this other stuff is for. But to come out and after you lose in the second round of the NCAA, was it second round or first round?
They lost in the, was it the second round.
Second round for them,
yes.
And so that's the first thing you're going to admit? That's just bad optics, man.
They may have a lot of guys coming back, but I'm just saying, as a coach, I just think that's a bad way to say it to your assistant coaches.
Yeah.
Say it to your spouse.
Yeah.
You know, say it to your therapist.
Don't say it to the media out there
because, you know, because like I know he said not in the game and think about it, but even so, if you thought about it at all, if it was on your mind much at all.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's going to affect time you spend doing other things for this season.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't get it. It was bad. The Jayhawks started off this year 13-1, closed the season going 10-11. They were ranked number one when the season started, but all the injuries they had all came to fruition there in that game against Gonzaga, where Kansas just ran out of time, ran out of juice, and could not get going on that one. And Gonzaga just ran them out of the gym. But on the flip side of that, impressive to see Gonzaga, like, and Caleb said this too, kind of under the radar a little bit this year.
Yeah. No, totally. You know? I mean, they're what, a 5 seed?
Yeah, they're 5 seed.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I mean, not the perennial, like, top three that we may, you know, maybe used to seeing from them, but I don't know. They look good yesterday. Like, just a well-oiled Gonzaga machine.
Yes, they did.
They were on the bubble for a good chunk of the season. There was talk they might not even make the tournament this year. And now here they are back in the Sweet 16. It's a good story for them. But interesting to see what happened with Kansas going forward. And by the way, did you see last week George Washington III, not the related to the president?
Okay.
He was a basketball player, high school basketball player in Ohio, originally committed to Ohio State, and then flipped and went to Michigan this year as a freshman. And now he's transferring from Michigan.
Where's he going?
He hasn't said he's in the transfer portal though, after Howard got fired. He announced he's going in the transfer portal, so I don't think this would be an option for him here, because I imagine that I don't know if I necessarily needs him, but you know, George Washington III though is transferring. He's a guy, like, originally committed to Ohio State,
yeah,
and then decommitted and from Holtman and went to Michigan instead with Juwan Howard. The Juwan Howard thing is interesting to me, with the fact that
he never really did anything prior to becoming the coach at Michigan.
Right.
He had been with the Heat for a long time and was kind of, I mean, he was a coach there, but it was more of a, I think it, like Udonis Haslem, like the whole player coach mentality. So sure. Like when Juwan Howard left and it was like Haslem came kind of stepped into that role.
Mm-hmm.
And then Haslem, you know, retired at the end of last season. But it's just like Juwan didn't really have all of that background you would expect him to have if he were to become the head coach of a really, really big school.
I'm curious if Michigan will make a bigger financial commitment to the program. I'm not sure what Howard was making. I think Dusty Mather's making $3.5 million a year. He's got a 5-year deal, I think, 5 or 6-year deal. Might be a 5-year deal. But anyway, they don't spend a lot of money on the structure of the program. Like
no.
They might be 5th or 6th, the Big Ten, as far as how much money gets devoted to the men's basketball program. So I wonder if Dusty Mather gets some of that consideration. Yeah, what do you got?
That's honestly, that's wild to me because, like, being honest, growing up, I thought Michigan basketball was, like, you know, I mean, they got the Fab Five. Like, it's
exactly.
I thought they were such a cool program.
It was a lot higher in my mind than Ohio State basketball.
Right. I shouldn't say cool, but the level was different.
Yes, it was an upper tier from what Ohio State was.
Yeah, and I hate that because I would love for Ohio State. I would love for Ohio State basketball to be so serious, but that's why we got Deebs now.
Hey,
so.
We're gonna have a turnaround and things are gonna happen. That's all you can ask for.
Michigan won the title with Glenn Rice and Steve Fisher back in, I think it was the '89 season when they famously fired their head coach. But I'm sorry, he was announced he was leaving Bill Frieda right before the tournament. To go to Arizona State after the season, and Bo Schembechler said, I want a Michigan man coaching Michigan, and said, you're not coaching them in the tournament. Fisher led them to 6 straight wins and to the national championship. Glenn Rice was just absolutely unconscious. Then you had the Fab Five a couple years after that, which, yes, reinvigorated the program and put them on a stratospheric level.
It did. It really did.
With everything, with pop culture, beyond the court,
they did. They were everywhere.
They were. And even as a Buckeye fan, I can respect what they were able to pull off.
I hated it. I hated every second of it. But, you're right. Total respect to them.
I didn't. You know, it's funny. In the moment, as a much younger person, I didn't. I was, in my early 20s. I did hate it because it was against Ohio State and all that stuff. But as I get further and further away from it, I recognize how powerful it was, and seeing the 30 for 30 on the Fab Five, it was obviously slanted because Jalen Rose was the executive producer of it, but still just remembering the impact that it had on everything. The black socks, the long baggy shorts,
yes,
the bald heads. And I did wear black socks too when I played basketball back then also. But
and even now you wear black socks and sandals.
I do. And I can still jump as high as I could back then.
Yeah.
Amazingly, I have not lost anything on my vertical, which should tell you something right there. My vertical is more of just a slight horizontal, is what it is. But anytime I do attempt the vertical, an ankle does break my own.
It's like, wee.
I was great in basketball and defense because I was so slow.
Yeah.
If you made a move to your left to fake me out and then go right, I'd still be where you were the first time. Very effective.
Not phased.
I didn't know. I'm not faked at all. I was right there. You can make that move, and I'm not biting on it because I'm too slow to do it.
I love it, Tito.
I know you're going to fake me out, so I'm just going to stay right here.
You're coming back.
Not going anywhere. Yeah.
You're going to be coming back here. I'll wait for you. I'm not going to extend any kind of energy.
Oh, I love it.
Coming up next. What happens if a global athlete becomes embroiled in a major scandal? Because he has. We'll talk about that next. Fan Sports Sunday on the Fan.
Here's a listener tweet. Are men in bones stupid in real life? Yes. Yes, they are. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan. This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Prime Sportsbook. Win more when you bet on reduced juice sides at PrimeSportsbook.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. The biggest total of the day belongs to Alabama Grand Canyon at 168.5. Grand Canyon, the 12 seed, looks to pull off another upset. They're 2-1 on the money line and giving Alabama 5.5. That game tips off tonight right around 7 o'clock. For your Prime Sportsbook Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
We firmly believe it's appropriate to tailgate before a youth soccer game. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday. Tito, Jen, and Caleb with you until 5 o'clock. That was three names. I said it really fast. Tito, Jen, and Caleb.
Tito.
Yes. Tito. With you until 5 o'clock. God, 3 o'clock's already passed. 5 o'clock, game day after that. Caleb, you said Georgia's up on Wake Forest in Winston-Salem right now?
27-16 now.
Ooh, so, an 11-point lead.
Yeah, Bulldogs are looking good.
Shot.
They're looking
Tuesday.
Good.
That'd be fun.
We love that for us.
Keep our fingers crossed. That would be a nice consolation right now.
Yes, that would be. exorcise some demons in that place. What we experienced today when Ohio State fell to Duke 75-53. Final game of J.C. Sheldon's career. I don't know who else is gone. I haven't looked at that closely. I don't know if Ricky Harris. I love Ricky
Celeste
Harris.
Celeste Taylor.
Ricky. Celeste's gone, yeah.
Ricky might be coming back.
Oh, okay. Really?
She's looking into, she has an extra year of eligibility, so still figuring it. I heard she's working on it.
And Rebecca Mikolashikova.
I think Rebecca's gone, though.
She's gone.
I love Bex. That's going to be sad to not see her.
Now, her coach flew in.
For the game?
From the game, and he flew like over 5,000 miles to get here.
Wow. Wow.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
I was at the game Friday. Also, it was today, the game today, and also on Friday.
Nice.
And on Friday, where I was positioned was kind of close to where the women came out and sat to watch the Duke game after their game. And I can't tell you how impressed I was with the way the women interacted with fans. Nothing but smiles. There was no like.
Oh, that's so great.
Well, it didn't matter how people were there. Like, and the JC, like the line to see J.C. Sheldon was bonkers.
Oh, I'm sure.
But even like for Ricky Harris and Celeste was down there and Cody McMahon, but everyone came out. They came out and said, and they were out sitting there and staying there. Fans would come up to them. There's on the breaks, they would come down and get pictures. They didn't say no to anybody.
That's sweet.
Now, one time the usher stepped in and said, hey, look, the girls need to watch the game here right now. So maybe during the break or whatever, halftime, they'll do more. Because JC's line was just. And for JC's sister, too.
Oh, Emmy.
Both of them out there with Emmy out there.
Aww.
It was absolutely bonkers for that. But I would just say that was close, like, almost for me to you, to where Ricky Harris was sitting with her family and stuff and some other players. And just the constant smiles with all the kids that came down to get autographs.
So awesome.
It was so much fun to watch.
They said during the game that McGuff has asked Emmy if she would like to continue to be a part of the team moving forward. And I'm like, oh my God, I love this so much.
Yes. Yes. Like I said, there were people got autographs from her and pictures with her.
That's
also.
So great.
Which is really cool.
They do a great job with just like the community outreach type stuff.
Yeah.
With, you know, I mean, they're always around signing autographs, doing events. Like, I don't know. I love this team so much. Like,
I've
gotten to cover them so much with the Lantern over the past 2 years. And it's just like, I mean, yeah, they deserved a better ending.
It sucks. I mean, as much as it sucks, at least, though, they got to do it at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Where as much as it hurts, they can at least be at home.
One of the coolest things I saw was a young lady walking up to see a girl to see Ricky Harris. And she had on a Ricky Harris shirt that Ricky Harris had not seen that design before. And Ricky's
nice.
Like, oh, my God. Where'd you get that? That's so cool. I got to get one of those, she said. Right. So she said. So she was like, I can't believe it. And then someone else came down who had a name that said, it's a Sheldon family thing you wouldn't understand, who isn't related to JC, but her last name is Sheldon.
Sheldon.
JC got a kick out of that. Nice. Just things like that that were pretty cool. But yeah, the Ricky Harris thing with the shirt was funny because Ricky's like, I never saw that before. Aww. And so she discovered she had another shirt out there she was not aware of. Changing gears a little bit, Shohei Ohtani, his interpreter, all the stuff going on with that, where the interpreter comes out and does a big interview and says, yeah, Shohei, loan me the money, cover my gambling debts. He loaned it, you know, whatever. He took paid it for me. I'm going to pay him back, da-da-da. And Shohei knows what it was for. He, like, signed off on it and all this stuff, and he wouldn't give me cash because he was afraid I'd gamble it, so he transferred the money himself to this sports bookie, essentially what it is, because sports betting not legal in California, and that's where the bets were placed.
Ugh.
Then, shortly thereafter that, spokesman for Ohtani says, wait, no, none of that's true. We had no idea, and money's been stolen from him. So, I have a hard time believing the interpreter, who is like a really close to Ohtani, like the family's vacation together and stuff.
Yeah.
He's been with Ohtani since he was in Japan. They're super close. I have a hard time believing he would go public with that big of a lie, right? Like, you'd think he'd just be, no, nothing, there's nothing to see here, whatever, you know, would try to blow off. Wouldn't even have done an interview or sit down with ESPN and that, unless he thought he was telling the truth and thought Ohtani would not get in trouble. But I think someone got into Ohtani's ear and said, look, we can't have you associated with this at all.
Right.
Let's make it theft. If there's any chance Ohtani gambled, illegal gambling, and the interpreter said, no, nothing on baseball ever. It's all just like football and basketball and whatever. But if there's any chance that Ohtani's involved.
Could you imagine?
With an illegal, and I know it's nothing can prove this. I'm not trying to say this is fact. But what would that do? How would that affect baseball, Ohtani's legacy? And by the way, I believe if they have proof of times involved, we'll never see it.
Do you think they'll squash it?
I think they'll try their best to squash it. Mm. Now, the federal investigators are involved right now, and they could, they are going to, obviously, something could come out from that end. But I think if baseball has their option, their druthers on this, they would say, this isn't going
on. Well, yeah. Because it's a bad optic thing from the standpoint of he is a highly, he's the one of the biggest superstars, because baseball does not have a lot of superstars.
Right.
And they can't afford to lose him.
Right.
And the exposure that he gives to Major League Baseball. So they'll quash it and they'll send him. Maybe he'll go join the Washington Wizards for a couple of seasons.
Right, do that.
And he'll play basketball.
Right.
And
right.
Much in like how the.
Yeah, do the reverse Jordan.
Jordan, yeah. Yes.
But that's why I think, like, I don't think there's any way baseball would let it come out. They've said that they've opened up their own investigation now as well, but they're letting the federal government do the feds do their thing on the investigation of all this. But. Can you imagine?
Oh, God.
Could you imagine if something comes out and it's like, you know what? Shohei bet on baseball.
I mean that would be ridiculous.
I mean, that just takes your breath away when you think about it.
I saw the funny meme out there. I think it was a meme, something about Pete Rose saying that Pete Rose is going to petition to get back into baseball because his interpreter was the one who placed all the bets.
Oh, it wasn't me.
It wasn't me. Interpreter.
I mean, you think about, he's gone from, he's major league now. I mean, sure. He went from Anaheim. He's now in LA.
Right.
He's a Dodger. This is his first season. He signed that massive deal. Oh, God, for all of it to be crumbling
down. If it could happen, wouldn't that be? And because if it does come out that he did bet on baseball, they have to ban him for life.
They have to ban him for life.
Now, if he just bet illegally the bookmaker, then they're going to suspend him anyway. But nonetheless, it's like there is so much intrigue around this. Either that interpreter lying his ass off about when he gave the 90-minute sit down with ESPN and spilled out all this stuff, put everything out there like, hey, no, this was the transfer. Shohei himself personally did it for me. And then Shohei saying, I had no idea this money was gone. I had no idea this guy took this money from me. Someone's telling a big lie in there.
Yeah.
And Otani's the one with the most to lose. And baseball's the ones with the most to lose, not the interpreter.
Oh, no, the interpreter is, no, not at all. It's Otani
right. For
sure. I mean, he could just lose his entire career. Not that, I wonder how much it would leave him out as far as money is concerned, but like, he already has a lot of money.
Right, yeah. And he goes back to Japan and play if he needed to.
Absolutely.
Now, so, again, I'm saying, nothing's been said to suggest that any of that has happened as far as betting on baseball or Shohei placing the bets. I'm just saying that that's in the back of my mind when I see the way this is unfolding. When I see the interpreter making such bold statements that he feels fully confident in saying to an ESPN investigative reporter, and then backtracking, Otani then coming at him, or he didn't backtrack, but Otani came out and saying, no, none of that's true.
That's just so messed up, man.
Because you know that when you're telling that lie to the ESPN investigative reporter, you know it's going to get found out.
Yes.
So is it a lie? That's the part that I'm having a hard time with. We'll find out more. But I wonder how much this it hasn't affected Otani's play yet. After it came out when he was in South Korea, he still had a good game the next day. But we'll see if it affects him during the season at all as more questions get asked. But it's going to be something. I remember when Pete Rose, his whole thing, how much that hung over baseball that entire summer of 1989. And I hope it doesn't do that with baseball this year.
That was very weird when that happened.
That was bizarre. Yes.
It was very,
and it was every day.
Weird. Yes.
Coming up next, we'll wrap things up, get you updated on the men's and women's games and the women's OSU hockey pursuit of a national title. We'll do that next. Fan Sports Sunday on the Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Mara, the meatloaf!
Garnish your Bloody Mary with sports talk. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Final segment of the program, Tito, Jen, and Caleb with you. You can tell it's a blowout because Utah State put in a guy who looks like Johnny Lawrence from The Karate Kid with a headband on. That's him at the line right there. He maybe is a regular, I don't know. But I'm just saying, but I saw that guy sure enter the game.
Okay, who pissed off Purdue this morning, though? I mean, 102? Dude.
Hey, they totally have to make up for what happened last year. So
I caught so much hell from Biddle and Scotty Vegas for saying, I love Purdue in this tournament.
Well, Why would they give you hell?
Because they thought Purdue's going to be one and done.
Oh,
yeah. I feel like that. Yeah, I kind of had that vibe going in with them, but I don't know, Zach Edey, man.
No, I knew after last year with everything that happened, no, there was no way Purdue was going to let that happen again.
This game in the final minute, Purdue with a 104-67 lead here. Zach Edey has not played much at all in the second half. He had 21 at the half. He finishes with 23 points, 14 rebounds, 3 blocks.
He ate 3 Utah State band members on his way to the sideline.
Yes, he did. Marquette beat Colorado earlier today, 81-77. That's a 2 versus a 10 still coming up today. You've got James Madison, a 12 against number 4 Duke. 6 seed Clemson and number 3 Baylor. A 12 seed Grand Canyon, 4 seed Alabama. Number 9 Northwestern, number 1 UConn. A&M is a 9 against Houston, the number 1 seed out there in the South region. And then Yale and San Diego State, the game I won't be able to watch because I have to work tomorrow morning.
It's okay.
Maybe it is, but it might be a classic game.
Do you really think? Do you really think it's going to be a classic game?
The fact that I'll be missing it, yes.
Okay.
I think something will happen that will...
I will email you. I will stay up a little bit later tonight, and I will watch it, and I'll be like, fun fact. Now
listen, it'll be one of those things...
Not a classic game.
...where it'll be like the greatest college basketball game ever, and somehow, some way, there was no way of recording it because of some technical difficulties. There's no footage from it.
It's just...
It's all gone.
It lives in lore.
But let me tell you how great it was. Purdue wins 106-67. On the women's side, Ohio State falls 75-63 to Duke. Don't want to talk about that ever again, but I'll have to tomorrow morning. 5 Colorado, 63. Number 4, Kansas State, 50. South Carolina, the 1 seed overall, routed North Carolina, 88-41. Also, Oregon State, 3, leads Nebraska, the 6, 28-21 at the half. LSU has rallied against Middle Tennessee State. It was 36-32 Middle Tennessee State at the half. Since then, it's been a 35-13 run by LSU. Running faster than Kim Mulkey's running from the truth. Just kidding. I don't know. That's no. That's not perfect. That's not accurate. That. We don't know if that's true or not.
Don't deny it, Tito. That was perfect.
No, that was really good.
I can't wait for that story to come out. I really want to know.
I can't either. Yes, I will pay that dollar so I can read it and then just laugh maniacally at it.
Ohio State women in Wisconsin tied 0-0. It seems like through the first period now, and it seems like women's hockey, men's hockey, when they get to this point, maybe I'm wrong, but it always feels like it's like a 4 overtime game in the finals or something. It's like 0-0. The goalies have like 180 saves, and then someone scores on some fluky goal. But Ohio State going for their second national title in 3 years in that one. And this is a rematch of last year's game when Wisconsin knocked off Ohio State. It's the 4th straight Frozen Four. So Purdue, yes, I am now, I'm impressed with Purdue now. I still have them going to the finals. I think that they will play UConn in the championship game is what I believe will happen. But this is our last, like, really huge day of college hoops, and it's a bit disappointing to me.
Why?
Well, just because, Thursday and Friday are so great.
Yeah. Don't be sad it's over. Just be happy that you got to witness it.
The hell are you, a Hallmark card?
No.
You think that's going to make me feel better, Jen? No, you don't say that to me.
You can say that, Jen, but the withdrawal, the basketball withdrawal is still going to hit the same tomorrow morning.
No, it just sucks. I know it sucks. I'm just trying to make it positive. I mean, come on.
You're right. And that's a good way for you to end the show after how positive you were earlier about Sister Jean and Jean Katie.
I didn't kill her.
No, but I'm telling you right now, if something happens before we get together next Sunday with either one of those individuals,
oh God,
I'm just telling you. You're going to have a lot of explaining to do on that one.
Okay.
It's going to be like a Jen curse or something around here.
Funny.
Like,
oh, can you imagine how much people would like start being super nice to her so she shouldn't say about them on the air? You'll see Dom like give her hugs every time she walks in.
I love him.
Jen, I know. Yeah, you wouldn't kill him.
No.
I know.
He's out there right now. I want to go give him a hug. I love you, Dom.
Oh, look, Jen, I brought in coffee for you. I
don't drink coffee, but thanks, Dom.
Oh, there you go. Now you're on the list. Yeah, so we'll check into that also. But it'll be weird next week because we'll have a show next
week.
We'll
have a show.
Because there's no Ohio State women's basketball. Thanks for reminding me. we will definitely have a show next week. And by the time we get there, we'll be down to 6 teams, right?
And it'll be Easter.
It'll be Easter.
It's Easter Sunday. Are you here or are you going to church?
I got to think about this one now. I'm going to church. I'm not sure when.
Okay.
That's a great. I'm glad we're bringing this up now because I got to start thinking about this.
I just need to make sure I get to like a Walgreens or a Target so I can get all the candy. That's my most important thing.
I thought you were going to say you worship there. I was like, what kind of religion are you? If you go to Walmart or Walgreens,
no, I just want the marshmallows and the jelly beans. Thank you very much.
That makes sense. Yes, I get that. So, next we'll have to play it by ear for next Sunday. We'll see if the crew have a win when we talk next Sunday. They've got Nashville SC on Saturday night. The Jackets at Arizona on Tuesday.
Oh, that's a loss.
No, they should be able to get a win against Arizona.
That's right. They play in the community rec center.
Right. I don't even know if they play on ice. I think they put their socks on and play on a gym floor. I think that's how they do it. They do it like the old elementary school hockey. We do that awesome. At gym. Yeah. I think that's how they do it. But anyway, the Jackets have got that game coming up. We're inching closer to the spring games with a lot of that kind of stuff to talk about next week as well. Was Pro Day a positive experience for you, though?
I mean, it was positive just because I've never been there before. So for me, it's like anything that I'm getting to experience for the first time is a positive. And the fact that people are great and nice and awesome and are accepting of my stupid ass being there. So I'm all for it.
I saw Tressel was out there also the other day at the Woody.
Speaking of, you're kind of rocking a little Tressel action right now. We didn't even acknowledge that the entire show.
I didn't even realize
that. Let me tell you how old this sweater vest is. I've had this thing since probably 1999.
Oh, wow.
I don't wear it that much.
It predates Tressel.
It had to be after that then. I would have bought it. No, it would have been early 2000s then, but I got to look. I bought it at the Buckeye Hall of Fame Cafe when they had a gift shop in there, but now it's all gone. All right, that's it for us. We're done talking about my sweater, and we're done having Jen kill people. Join us next week, Fan Sports Sunday. Game day is next right here.
Chops his serial killer eyes,
and Reeser can grow a full beard before lunch. What can your friends do?
Bishop and Friends.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan.
This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Prime Sportsbook. Win more when you bet on reduced juice sides at PrimeSportsbook.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Can Northwestern pull off the miracle tonight against one-seeded UConn? Northwestern and Boo Booey are the biggest underdog of the day as the Wildcats are giving UConn a 13.5. To pull the upset, Northwestern is 7-1 on the money line. For your Prime Sportsbook Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.